Well, good morning, family, and welcome back to Good Morning Live. It is so good to be on with you today. Now, I know we are a few minutes behind, but did you ever have one of those mornings where it's like, if it's going to happen, it just is what it is? So, yeah, Jubilee and I had a little later start getting here this morning, and then all kind of computer issues stepping in the way, and we're live also over on TikTok, which we're not live on TikTok every day because there's a few other steps you have to do to make that happen. But we are today. So I just thought, you know what, we're hop on a few minutes late, but we'll still be on. So thank you so much for watching today. Thanks for being on. If you're wondering what it is that we do here, well, this is the Good Morning Live program. My name is James Epperly. And every day we come on, we open up the Word of God. Let it teach and inspire our lives, start our days right. And so if you are watching on a platform that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, do all of those things, help us continue to take this message further. And of course, to all of our friends watching on the around the world on the Pioneer Channel, welcome as well. And of course, now on the Salem Network, we want to welcome you as well. Good morning, Andrew. Good to see you. All right. Well, take a breath this morning. That's how I feel, just kind of in the rush of everything. Hey, you ever just had one of those days, you're like, all right, I just got to take a breath here for a second. I want to remind you today that God is with you. God is for you. He's got a plan for you, and he's not done with you. Amen? All right. So I want to talk about something that I think will help set some people free. I think because a lot of believers are stuck in a loop. Have you ever been stuck in a loop? I have. I've looked back on my life and cycles of my life and patterns of my life, and I've said, man, if I could go back and get off that merry-go-round, if I could get off that mountain where I just went around again and again, if I could just see clearer, quicker what the problem was, I wouldn't have wasted time and years just kind of circling. But I think a lot of believers are stuck in a loop, and the reality of it is it's not because they don't love God. They love God. They want to change. They try hard. I've tried hard. We promise, all right, I'll never again do that. I'll never again. Then they fail. And as you know, if you've been there, we fail. We suddenly feel ashamed. And then what do we promise to do? All right, I'm going to try harder. Tomorrow's the day. Tomorrow I'm going to turn this around, right? And then suddenly it turns into a cycle of striving, but yet we still miss what we're after. And that's transformation. So we live a life where we're striving for change, but never quite find the change, never quite reach the transformation. So today I want to give you a kingdom truth that breaks that cycle. Right believing produces right living. I'm going to say that again. Your right believing will produce your right living. In other words, if you want your life to change, you don't start with behavior. If you want your life to change, you have to start with your belief. You know, this past Wednesday night at Hope City Church, we talked about the Bible being our highest authority. It's the thing that changes us, that transforms us, right? And a lot of times we just try, well, I'm going to work better on me. I'm going to try to fix me. But we know it's the Word of God, right, that comes in and changes our belief. Because when something's not working, it's not that God's not working. It's not that God's not listening. It's that we are missing the loop somewhere. So if we want to change our behavior, we have to start with what we are believing that is wrong. We talked also Wednesday and a little bit on Sunday about the aspect of words being those containers that we talked about. And I'll say it again for those who didn't hear that, but somebody could say anything they want to you and it doesn't affect you. It doesn't have power over you. It doesn't do anything to you. They can call you everything under the sun. Doesn't do anything. The moment that it does something is the moment that you choose to pick up those words and put your belief in those words. Why? Because as soon as you believe those words now is changing your behavior. It's changing your belief about yourself. It's changing how you see yourself, and that will always work out in your life. So if we want to change our behavior, then we have to come back and say, I have believed something wrong. I've believed a word wrong. I believed a lie about myself. There's a wrong belief in me. Why? Because behavior is typically the fruit of what you believe. So if behavior is the fruit, then we have to go back. Belief would be the root. So behavior is the fruit, but belief is the root. And if you just keep trying to trim the fruit without ever fixing the root issue, come on, you're going to stay frustrated. You're going to stay in that merry-go-round, in that cycle of just always feeling like next time I'll get this. Next time we'll work this out, right? So let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it's one of the most powerful transformation scriptures in the Bible. And this translation says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's the NLT version, a little bit different than maybe you've read it before. But it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. So how do we get transformation? By changing the way you think. So notice what it says. God transforms you. But how does God transform you? By changing the way you think, by changing what you believe. So today, we're going to talk about right believing and how it produces right living without shame, without fear, come on, and without that cycle of continual burnout that just leaves us always feeling empty, always feeling broken, always feeling like we're not enough. Most people, and maybe you're like this because this is how I am, try to change from the inside out. And this is how the world thinks. This is how the world teaches us. If I act different, I become different. You know, like the old saying, fake it till you make it, right? If I perform better, then I'll be accepted. If I fix my habits, I will finally feel at peace. But listen, the kingdom works the opposite way. Before you can perform it, Christ says, you're accepted. Then he renews your mind. Then your life changes. So it's acceptance from Christ, a renewing of your mind, and then a changed life. Grace always works from the inside out. Religion says, well, clean up, then come close. But grace says, come close, and then I'll clean you up from there. Right? Let me take care of some of these comments over here. I love the options that it gives you for comment makers. You can ban, you can block, or you can put in timeout. Like, what is timeout? I guess just freezing them for the live. I don't know. But anyway, social media, you gotta love it. Well, religion says clean up, but come on, grace says come close and then I will clean you up. And that's why condemnation never produces lasting change. It produces hiding. Grace produces transformation. Why? Because it keeps you connected. What you believe will always determine how you live. So let me make this plain for us today. If you believe that God's mad at you, that's why we end every program reminding you, God loves you. He's not mad at you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Why? Because that belief, that knowing that God loves you, he's not mad at you, changes how you live. So if you believe God's mad at you, you will what? What do you do when somebody's mad at you? What is our natural take? You avoid them. Right? Like, you know, I don't know if you've ever, like, you know, been in a fight with your spouse and it's like you're trying to pass down the hallway at the same time. And it's like you try to get as close to the other side of the hallway as possible, right? To avoid. Because that's what you do when you think somebody's mad at you, right? You avoid them. But if you believe that God is for you and not against you. What are you going to do? You're going to run to him. That's what that, you know, the scripture that says, little children come to Christ, or we come to Christ with the heart of a child, right? Why? Because a child, you know, you can discipline a child, but they turn around and they still reach for you and say, I'm upset, help me, right? Why? Because they still know at the end of the day, you're for them, you love them. So if you believe God is for you, you will always run to him. If you believe you're always going to fail, guess what you're going to do? You're going to stop trying. If you believe you're a new creation, what are you going to do? You're going to get back up after you fail and go again. So if you believe you're unloved, you're always look for love in the wrong places. But if you know that you are deeply loved, you will stop settling for counterfeit comfort. That's why Proverbs says to us, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Your heart beliefs shape your life results. Your heart beliefs shape your life results. So the question is not only, what are you doing? The deeper question that I'm trying to dig to today is, what are you believing? What are you believing? Right believing starts with Jesus and not self. But first, coffee, right? A lot of people think right believing means, well, I need to believe harder, right? I need stronger faith. I need to be more spiritual. But biblical faith, listen, is not willpower. Right believing starts with this, looking at Jesus correctly. Because when you see Jesus clearly, you see yourself correctly. When you see the cross clearly, you see forgiveness correctly. When you see the resurrection clearly, you see new life correctly. So when I see grace clearly, then I will see growth happen correctly in my life. And right here is a foundational belief that I think, man, it just has to be settled in your life. We have to settle this. God's love for you is not based, it never has been, never will be, based on your performance. It is based on Christ's finished work. He loved you. He went to the cross, forgave your sin before you were even on this people planet, before you had the option to mess anything up. He went ahead of you and made provision, went to the cross, died, forgave you, made a way for you. So if he did all of that before you even existed, how is it that somehow we think that we're going to exist and now mess it all up? God's love for you is not based on your performance. It's based on Christ's finished work. And when you have that settled in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, that belief alone changes how you pray. Changes how you pray. It changes how you repent. Somebody said in the comments, it's Worship Wednesday. It changes how you worship. And it will absolutely change how you live. Why? Because when it's settled in your heart, man, I could preach this all morning, but it's not what I'm preaching about. Maybe tomorrow. But when you settle in your heart that God loves me, when I get a revelation that God loves me, it changes every way possible of how I live and what I believe. I can go through a storm. I can walk through a trial, holding my head up high, not live in fear, not live in anxiety. Why? Because he loves me. God loves me and he's in control. God loves me and he's got this. God loves me and he's the final authority here. I'm not, he is. Right? So when you have that belief, when you know that God loves me, Jesus loves me, as simple as it sounds, that belief changes everything. Maybe we'll dive more into that tomorrow. But listen, when you don't have that revelation, when there's wrong believing, it will always create wrong living. Let me show you how this works. Here's wrong belief number one. God is disappointed in me. When you believe that, when that God's disappointed in you, here's what it will produce in your life. Shame, distance, inconsistency. But when you have the right belief that God is a father who helps me grow. Remember, Monday we talked about grace parenting your own soul and how you would parent your own child with grace, how you have to talk to yourself and parent your own soul with grace and love and compassion and forgiveness. We have to have the understanding that that's how God parents us. Yes, he chastises his children, but the same way as I would correct my son or my daughter when they're doing something that's wrong, where it's like, hey, stop running with scissors, don't touch the hot stove. It's all out of love and to produce safety around them, all because I care. So when God corrects and he chastises, it's all saying, hey, warning, I want to protect you. I want to care for you. And when you know that about God, even when you mess up and when you fall, you have a right belief that God's a God. I messed up. I fell. Lord, I receive your correction. I repent from that. But I know you're a God who helps me grow. You know, I have, and I went through this for a long time, paralyzed in fear to make a wrong decision. Is anybody else related to that? I don't know what to do, so I do nothing. I remember years ago, Pastor Angie Meisel used to tell me that, listen, it's easier to steer a moving car. It's easier to steer a moving car. And that always helped me because it's like, instead of just doing nothing, start walking forward. And here's what I found about God, that even when I'm going in the wrong direction, if my heart towards God is, Lord, help me, then God's big enough to get me off the wrong path and get me where I need to go, even when I've missed it. Are you with me? Why? Because he's a father, and it's like, hey, I'll help you along the way. Just trust me, but take a step. And even if it's the wrong step, I'll get you where you need to go. I'm big enough. I'll turn it around. I'll get you right where you belong at the right time. Why? Because but when you have the wrong mentality that, well, if I make the wrong decision here, if I step wrong, then God's going to be mad and he's going to be angry and he's going to hate me and my whole life's going to fall apart and everything's going to be destroyed because I made the wrong decision. Is that the heart of a father? When you have the right belief, God is a father who helps me grow. So even when I mess up, I can turn to him and he will come back with compassion and grace and mercy, and he will help me grow. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs that word today. Yeah, Haley says he is patient and kind. Right. So do you see the difference in how you believe is how, and what you believe about God changes how you respond? So here's a second wrong belief, that I have to punish myself in order to change. Guess what this produces? Always self-hatred, always burnout, always secret cycles. But here's what a right belief looks like. Jesus took my punishment. I received correction, but correction with hope. And do you know what that produces? Repentance without despair, growth without shame. You know, we fall into this thing that I call a martyrdom spirit. That, well, I did wrong, so therefore I have to be punished. And we punish ourselves. Like, the world's going to do that enough. We punish ourselves. Why? Because we think we deserve it. We think, well, this is what we have to do. I was wrong, therefore I have to be punished. I made a mistake in business, therefore I can never do it again. I'll never pursue my dream again. I made a wrong decision in a relationship, therefore I'll never be in a relationship again. I'll talk negatively to myself. I'll believe bad about myself. I'll have no confidence in myself because I'm such a worm. I'm such a helpless failure. That's not. How God sees us, Jesus took all of our punishment, all of our shame, all of our failure to the cross with him. So yeah, do we need correction at times? Absolutely. But again, it's correction and repentance that produces hope. The other side of correction and repentance in Christ is always hope. It even says when a brother or sister falls, what are we supposed to do to them? Not what the world does, not cancel people and cancel culture and say you're done. No, no. It says restore them. That's hope. Restore them with a spirit of humility. And that's what God does. He restores us. Even when we mess it up, what does he do? He restores us, right? So how does God change us? By renewing our mind, not repeated cycles of guilt. Romans 12:2 says, remember, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Let me say it like this. You don't overcome by saying, I'll never do it again 500 times. You overcome by replacing lies with truth, because every bondage has a belief under it. I told you a story before, but a young man that I was ministering to and was going through some cycles of addiction in his life. And he said, man, every time, you know, I fall back into that addiction, I just find, you know, I just, man, beat myself up. And I said, listen, every time you fall into that addiction, when you're done and that, you know, and it's like, here comes the shame, here comes the condemnation. I want you to start saying out loud every time you have a thought, I am the righteousness of Christ. I am the righteousness of Christ. I am the righteousness of Christ. And I remember he said, I can't do that. I there's just such a feeling of shame. I got to like turn God off for a minute because I feel so bad. And I said, no, that is the minute, because what Satan's trying to do is he's trying to sell you a package to get you to believe that you are that addiction, you are that failure, you are that shame, that is what you are. Run from God, get away from God, and buy the lie. But instead of that, and it's going to feel weird because it's like, I just sinned and now I'm turning around saying I'm the righteousness of Christ. I'm the righteousness of Christ. What are you doing? You are replacing the lie. And it wasn't overnight. It was like the next morning, man, I'm free. But over time, he came back and said, you know what? I'm not struggling as much as I was with that addiction. And finally, he walked free of it. Why? Because what he started to do is the cycle of addiction, the cycle of any pattern, negative pattern, is a cycle of self-hatred. And it's a cycle of buying into the lie from the enemy that is what we are. Because that's what Satan does. That's what all temptation is. You've done it. I've done it. Where it's like, all right, I'm eating healthy today. And I'm using it as a strange example, but, and what do? We stop at Dunkin' Donuts on the way into work. That's not why I was late today. I did good today. But we do. I'm not saying I didn't do it yesterday, but I didn't do it today. And then suddenly 10 minutes after that donut's gone, what did I do? Why did I do it? You know what? I'm never going to change. And then lunchtime comes around and instead of eating healthy, you're like, well, I already blew it today. Right? So since I already blew it, I might as well just eat what I want, right? Instead of having one bad moment, you have a bad day, and then a bad day turns into a bad week. And well, this week's already down the toilet, so let's just start fresh on Monday. And I'm using this as food, but we do it in every sin pattern of our life, right? Instead of, you know what? I messed up. I failed, but that's not who I am. I have self-control. I have long-suffering. I am the righteousness of Christ. I'm not defined by that moment. So in Jesus' name, I'm going to be who Christ says I am. I'm not falling into the trap. I'm not falling into the lie. I'm going to get up. I'm going to start again. I'm going to live fresh and start brand new today. Shannon says, every day, I'll admit it. Come on, Shannon. I don't know. If you know Shannon, she has a baking business. Had a phenomenal job. I can't recommend what she does more, but I wouldn't know how to exist with sweets and sugar around me, or having that, you know, be my work to do it. But God bless you in it. So we have to combat the lie, because that's what the enemy does. Tempt, 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 and then as soon as you take the bait, what does he do? Oh. Now that's who you are. Look at you. And then in comes the condemnation, right? So we have to change that. So the gospel, right believing, will always produce holy living. The belief, here's the belief that changes everything. I am righteous, which means to be in right standing with God because of Jesus. Now, hear me. This does not mean that I never miss it, that you never miss it. Right? Haley says there is no condemnation in Jesus. Doesn't mean we never miss it. It means your identity is settled. I should have brought a illustration, but Dr. Melody Hilton, who's going to be with us in March, did a teaching on this, but she took a $100 bill and she crumpled the $100 bill up. Maybe you remember this teaching that she did, and threw it on the ground, stomped on it, twisted her foot, tossed it in the dirt, and then picked it up and said, "Who wants this?" And everybody raised their hand. I do. Why? Though it was crumpled up, though it was spit on, though it was stomped on, though it was put in the dirt, it never lost its value. Come on, somebody. This world might stomp on you, put you through the dirt. You might make mistakes. You might fail somewhere along the way. But it does not change your identity. It does not change your value. That has been settled at the cross. And when your identity is settled, your life can then be shaped. But when your identity is always questioned, come on, you're always going to live unstable. Why? Because you can't build a strong life on a shaky identity. You can't build a strong life on a shaky identity. So right believing says, I'm not trying to become righteous by behaving. I behave righteous because I've been made righteous in Christ. And that's transformation. So let's make this actionable for your morning routine, right? Here's a few quick steps. Number one, identify the lie. Ask if there's an area of your life that's out of control. Maybe it's even your finances. Maybe it's a sin pattern. Maybe it's an anger problem. Identify the lie. What am I believing that is producing this fear? Maybe the anger is because you feel like, no one's listening to you, or you have to be in control. You know, at the other side of anger, there's a lie problem that you're believing. That I have to be louder. I have to, whatever. There's a lie that you're believing. What am I believing that is producing this habit in my life, this reaction? Identify it. Number two, replace it with truth. Remember, we've talked about this extensively. We're going to keep talking about it because it's so foundational to our faith. Replace it with the truth. Find a scripture that directly contradicts the lie. And if you're like, well, I'm new to the Bible, I don't know where to find it. Fine, pick up your iPhone. Right. Ask Siri. Say, Siri, show me every scripture on self-control. Right. And screenshot it. Do whatever you do. And then number three, speak it out loud. Faith comes by hearing, and you can hear your own mouth. Remember, we talked Monday about your inner voice being the most, the voice that you hear the most. Right. And then take one aligned action, one step that matches that new belief. Right. So if you believe God is with me, then would you do me a favor? Pray this with me now, if you believe. Right. Like that's, I want to say something else before we get to the prayer. But if you believe that I'm free, then you'll pray. Here's what I'm trying to say. Then you'll pray, God, delete that trigger. If you believe I'm loved, then pray, I'm loved, and then stop chasing that counterfeit comfort today. And this is how right believing produces right living. Not overnight perfection, but real lasting transformation. Amen? So here's what I want you to pray with me. Say, God is for me. Jesus is enough. I am loved. I am forgiven. I am righteous in Christ. My mind is being renewed. My life is being transformed. Right believing is producing right living in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I want to encourage someone. If you've been stuck, it doesn't mean you're hopeless. What does it mean today? It means that God is inviting you deeper into truth that sets you free. You don't need more shame. You don't need more You need more revelation. Because again, when belief changes, your life will change. Amen. All right. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person watching who has been trapped in cycles of striving and shame. I pray that you would transform us by renewing our minds, expose lies that we've believed, and replace them with your truth. Let the revelation of Jesus and the finished work of the cross settle our identity. And I pray that right believing would produce right living, not through pressure, but through grace, through strength, through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, amen. Well, thank you so much for being on with me today. I want to remind you, I don't know what your plans are tonight, but change them. Tonight, Hope City Church. We got prayer that starts at 6:30, youth ministry that starts at 6:30. And then our 1 hour midweek service starts at 7. We just started a brand new series called Doxology. And what we're doing is we're exploring what we believe and why we believe it. We're going through the core values of our faith. And if you think that this is some type of just word informational thing, come on, completely wrong. You can go back and watch last Wednesday's when we talked about the word of God being our highest authority. It is life-changing. It is powerful. Tonight's going to be powerful. We promise to have you out by 8 o'clock. So prayer, 6:30, student ministry, 6:30. And then of course, the 1 hour service starts at 7. So thank you so much for being on with me today. Andrew says, part one was awesome. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Tonight's going to be good as well. So I hope to see you there. Thanks for being on with me today. God bless you. Now remember, I remind you every day, God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he's got a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.